Please turn with me in your Bibles now. We turn for our instruction to the Scriptures. The Scripture reading this evening is found in the prophet Isaiah, the chapter 60. The prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 60. And we read the verses 1 to the verse 8. This is God's holy word. May the Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His word, all for His glory and for the good of our souls. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord grant his blessing upon that public reading of his precious and most holy, infallible, inerrant word. May he do so to the glory of his name, and to the good of our very needful and never dying souls. Dear congregation, turning again your prayerful attention to the words which I read to you there in the prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 60, and we read from the verse 1 to the verse 8, and the Lord be pleased tonight to be so gracious as to help me to minister his word for his glory and to the good of your souls. The words from my text this evening are taken from the 8th verse. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to their windows? Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to their windows? Well, may the Lord help us to understand and to imply these. And may the Lord answer the question for us from his own word. Well, first of all, before we come to consider that verse and the meaning of it, let me try to set before you some helpful background as to the nature of this chapter and which it is spoken and who and what it's directing our thoughts to. Well, as you know from the Book of Isaiah, it speaks so much of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the servant of the Lord. And this passage, it is without a shadow of a doubt, as we read, Arise, shine, for thy light is come. It is speaking of the servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. There is none that is light but the Lord Jesus. He is the light of men. And he comes, and he is the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It is speaking with regards to Christ and him blessing the church which would come into being, consisting, as we have read here, of many Gentiles, even from Ethiopia and from the farthest parts of the land. From shore to shore shall be his kingdom. Now, at the time of the writing of this prophecy, well, I suppose we can go right back to Isaiah 42. From Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, and Isaiah 52, and then Isaiah 53, We have a series of four servant songs, and they all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, as I said, the servant of Jehovah, the one who will bring in judgment. Literally, the word there, judgment, is salvation. He will bring in a righteousness. He will bring in justice for the Gentiles. Not that he's going to judge them. In his first coming, he will bring judgment. Just like the book of Judges, I suppose, God would send a judge, a deliverer, every time. And the Lord Jesus is the one who delivers his people from their sins. And so since Isaiah 42, the prophet by the Spirit of God is pointing Israel, the people of Israel and those in Judah, to the coming of the Lord. He is speaking to them firstly to repent, to turn from their sins. Because if not, God will visit the nation, particularly Israel, in chastisement. And also later, if Judah do not repent of their sins, the Lord will chastise them and send them into exile, into Babylon, for some 70 years. The Lord is gracious. The Lord was gracious to his covenant promise to send a Redeemer into this world, even the Lord Jesus Christ. God would save, eventually, a people out of not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles, through this one who is the servant of the Lord, who is the one who is described here as light. Now, here in the chapter 60, after those servant songs, of course I mentioned Isaiah 42, then Isaiah 49, and then Isaiah 50, and 52, and then 53. Finally, the suffering servant. And that at his death, immediately when we come into Isaiah 54, Isaiah 54 is all about his church, that he will, as a result of the travail of his soul there at Calvary, he will see his fruit, and the church shall come into existence in the days of the apostles. How the Gentiles were reached through the Jewish people and the gospel went out and so on. And in this chapter, we have this vision that is given to Isaiah of this coming church consisting of both Jews and Gentiles. And so since Isaiah 54 and again in Isaiah 60, that's here, and then on in Isaiah 62, and then in Isaiah 66, we have reference to the church. And then finally, at the end of that, the great day of the Lord, when he shall come the second time in judgment. So this passage here sets before us the Lord Jesus Christ as the great light, if you like, as the sun. Notice with me the verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Well, you notice how the Lord here speaks of this great light, the light to the Gentiles. Remember, as we thought this morning concerning Zacharias, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, how a light would arise for the Gentiles. Well, this is the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ being the light to the Gentiles. And he shall come. He is the Sun of righteousness. And so this great light is like the sun. So when we turn to Malachi chapter 4, we read in the verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the sun," S-U-N, "of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." The Lord Jesus Christ is likened to a sun. Just like a sun would bring life to plants and grass and light. And we need, as people, don't we, in this world, we need natural light, don't we? But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have spiritual light. We have life in the Lord. He is the light of men, but we're also, he's described there by John as the life. In him was life, because he is the Son of God, who would come to bring us spiritual life and eternal life through his own death. He would bring in light and life. Well, we cannot have life, eternal life, until we have come to see the light, that we are sinners and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly need him as that. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's interesting there how the Spirit puts upon John to write these two things together, life and light. The Lord Jesus Christ is both. Well, he came into this world. And John says, in his own reflection of the Lord Jesus, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is the Lord. And you notice here in the verse 1, there is an exaltation to the church. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. It's not their light. They are not light, but the light that they need. The light of salvation in the Lord Jesus. And then what you notice is that the church will then preach the gospel of Christ. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's the church. It's risen upon the church. Now notice, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. People by nature are described as darkness, a people that sit in darkness. And this is how sinners are. We come into this world in darkness, don't we? We come in the dark night of sin. We're lost, dead in trespasses and sins. But it's God that makes us alive. And so as we behold this passage, we look at this passage and we see sinners are in darkness. And you notice the verse 2, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. What a wonderful thing. The glory of the Lord shall be seen upon those that are saved. Isn't that a wondrous thing, those of us who are saved? It's the glory of the Lord. We have nothing to glory in ourselves, those of you who are not saved. Christians here, we do not boast. But God's glory has shone upon us. Light is emitting from us. And the Lord Jesus says that whwhoever believes in him, out of his belly, will flow living waters, truth from God's people. And they will be a blessing to people of this world. Now you notice what happens as a consequence of the church preaching the gospel, the verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from afar. And here he's speaking about faraway places. And how can it be that the church has sons from faraway places? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased them, purchased by his precious blood at Calvary, and they shall come to faith, and they shall all be joined to the family of God. They shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea. And you see here, sinners are described as the sea. We read of the wicked are like the sea which hath no rest, the troubled sea. And so the sea shall be converted unto thee, we read there. The great sea of the unbelieving shall be converted. Not all, but a great multitude, which John says, when he looks up to heaven, no man can number, out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, are brought to the Lord. And so it's, as we read on here, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. It's like the prophet here, the Lord has given him this vision, and he can scarce take it in. These people coming out of their shame and misery of their sin in darkness, a vast multitude of people coming. Think of the day of Pentecost, when God gave those cloven fire tongues, and as they were above, they could speak those languages of the Medes, the Persians, and the gospel went out into all the world and has gone out. Well, many were brought in that day of Pentecost. Well, we read some 3,000 men were converted, let alone the woman, children. And since then, down through the millennia, how many have come in? We read, don't we, in the book of Daniel, how that stone that was hewn from the mountain has smitten, as it were, and the kingdom of Christ is being built up It's a glorious kingdom. Christ's people are now, those that have died, they've gone to heaven. They're in glory, and the world will be shocked at the vastness of his kingdom. The church may not look like much today, but many have been converted and brought to Jesus Christ. It's a vast kingdom. They've gone to the place where the spirits of just men are made perfect. Well, that's the kingdom of Christ. And one day we will see it in all of its glory, and we shall be fully changed, glorified ourselves. And so you notice as we read on the verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries, that's Arabian camel, of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and shall show forth the praises of the Lord, etc. And we move on. And we see this vast number. And we think of even the people there. Think of the Ethiopian eunuch when he was converted there, just leaving Jerusalem, the place of worship, reading the prophet Isaiah. And perhaps he took the gospel back to Ethiopia there. And the gospel, has it not spread? And so many have been converted. Now, here is where we want to pick up. The verse 8, who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? So we want to think about this tonight, and as I address you from the Word of God, I want to address both believer and unbeliever here tonight. There's much to say on this. Well, these people, if you like, are described as doves. This is a very common metaphor, if you like, term used for God's people. They were once, what were they? They were once ignorant pagans. They were once darkness in the Lord. Consider what the Apostle Paul says, how we were once in our sin, how we were once haters of God, how we were once people of this world. But here now they are described as doves. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? Doves. Once, as I said, ignorant pagans, but they're now seeking the Lord, coming from afar, coming to His light. Dear friend, have you come to His light? You see, it doesn't matter where we come from, but it matters where we're going and who we have believed in, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the Ethiopian eunuch, a man of a very far origin from the rest, but he came to the light. Who is this, he said, of whom the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53? He was reading concerning the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus, and he came to the light. And so many have. There he was, treasurer to Candace, the queen. These people, they believed that everything in the world mattered. But now light has come. They were in darkness, but now they are in light. They were carnal, but now they are spiritual. They are those who seek God. They were before submerged in their own iniquity, submerged in their sin, in darkness, but now see them fly as doves like a cloud. Now, I mentioned earlier that this animal, this bird, is so frequently used to describe what that is good. The Holy Spirit is likened to a dove that descended upon the Lord Jesus. And you know the first mention that we have really of a dove in a way that we could, I suppose, apply spiritually is that time when, if you turn there with me to Genesis 8, when Noah was there upon the ark, and after 40 days, we read how Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And it came to pass that at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Well, the raven, he lived on carrion, lived on other things, but he didn't come back to the ark like the dove. And that's how people are of this world. They live on the dead things, the carrion of this world. The raven was satisfied with those things, went to and fro, frittering about from one object to the next, floating upon dead things. And this is how lost people are in this world. they satisfied with carnal things. But it was not so with the dove, was it? We read on, "Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth." Well, she could find no rest. How is it so different? And you know, the Bible describes Christians, God says of his children, "O my dove, thou who art in the clefts of the rock." If you turn with me there to Song of Solomon. You don't have to, but I'll read it to you. Song of Solomon 2:14. "O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." What a difference the dove is to the raven. We read there back in Genesis, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot." And so it is for the Christian. The Christian finds no rest for the sole of his foot, but the unsaved, very content with this world, very content. And then we read, "Then he put forth his hand," this is Noah, "and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark." So that was the occasion. Not living on the dead carrion, on the carcasses, on the things of this world. And the Christian is such. Doves. We read in Song of Solomon. And sometimes Christians are described as silly doves. In Hosea 7:11, we read, "Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria." And this often is the case with us. We would say we're like stray, silly sheep. We can be silly doves as Christians and do foolish things, but we have something and we know something of the grace of God. That's the difference, my unbelieving friend. The grace of God has come to our hearts. Just like the dove was content there to be with Noah. And you notice here, they fly to their windows. Well, who would make these windows? Well, we know something of perhaps pigeons and doves, the ones kept, their places, the places which God has given them. These ones appear to be somewhat instructed. And that's the difference. A Christian is somebody that is instructed and taught of the Lord. They are belonging to the Lord. These are owned. How different to the wild and to the common. That's how God's people are. They know they are the Lord's. They say, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." It's not a language, let me say, of profession. Some people profess to be a Christian, but it's the language of possession. "My beloved is mine, and I am his." And he says, "My dove that art in the clefts of the rock, let me hear thy voice." He loves to hear his people in prayer. They mourn. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn." These are doves that are instructed. They, as we say, see here, they have their windows. They have their places of dwelling. And the Lord has given us his place of dwelling. We love his tabernacle. We make it our home. As we read in that psalm, how the bird, she makes it our home. And this is really our place, where we feel most comfortable. Think of the dove that flew back to Noah there in the ark. Well, they didn't want to live off the carcasses and the carrion that were floating. That was the home. They've been brought to see their trouble, that they're helpless. See the dove there in the clefts of the rock, hiding in the cleft. We hide in Christ. We have that hymn, don't we? "Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. These are them that are saved, they are as doves. They know and they feel the need of the shelter of the Lord Jesus in their lives." The sinner has been brought to see the danger therein. They were once very bold and brazen, not fearing anything, but now they're as doves, gentle. I quite like the doves at home watching them. I don't like the bully pigeons that come and, like sergeant majors, pecking at them and thrusting them about, but doves are so gentle and tender. Well, the sinner has been brought to see their danger. And they have their dwelling place here as we read. Again in Ezekiel 7, the verse 16, "But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning every one for his iniquity." There again is a reference to God's people as doves mourning. As you know, doves do, they mourn. Their cry is very sorrowful. And so these doves, they fly as a cloud and they mourn. You see, these are God's people. And I must ask you, as the Lord says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn." Have you begun to mourn over your sin, friends? Do we mourn over our sin? Well, these are God's doves. They mourn over their sin. Again, in Ezekiel 7, the verse 16, "But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning every one for his iniquity." Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's the promise of those that truly mourn their sin. You know, if we confess our sins, and God has given us a heart to confess it, He will comfort us. He will comfort us. He has no time for the crows, as it were, of this world, the proud. It's interesting how the Lord likens His people to doves. Not proud magpies. You know what magpies are like. They collect everything that's shiny, anything that glitters. It's how the world is, isn't it? But friends, not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that we see is precious. Have you been made to mourn your sin? To see your need for Christ? Well, see them mounting up, flying, taking refuge, going to their windows here. David said in that Psalm 68, the verse 13, "Ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold." Again in Psalm 55, verse 6, David cried and said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Well, he wanted to be with the Lord. And that's true for every Christian. He's like a dove in this world. He has no rest. Like when Noah sent forth that dove, she had no rest. This world's not our home. It's not our resting place. But we love to rest in the Lord, in the cleft of His rock. Well, you notice here there's a great company now flying. They're described here as a cloud. Notice there with me. Who are these that fly as a cloud? Do we not have in Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 1, a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us? God's people sometimes are described as a cloud. Believers are as a cloud. And when we think of a cloud, when we look up into the sky, what happens? A cloud moves along. And all these doves, as it were, they move together in unison. How is it? How does a cloud move? It moves by the wind. Cloud moves by the wind. God's people, they're all moved by His Holy Spirit. They move to worship Him. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, who said that he needs to be born again. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so they moved by the Spirit of God. They moved to repentance. And they move to faith in the Lord Jesus. That's the way we join this cloud. Unless we're born of the Spirit. Unless we're born of God. And, well, the Spirit of God moves us to to understand and to believe his word. That which is of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus said, is spirit. Marvel not, he said, I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so as we look at clouds and we survey them up high up in the sky, some of them up way up in the stratosphere, we see they move by a force. It's quite something, isn't it? But together, and that's how God's people are, moved by his word. And notice there, they fly as a cloud. And sometimes that'll be with haste. Why is that? Because this life is short. We fly as a cloud, busy about the Lord's work. No time for rest. We've been changed. Time is short. We don't know how long we've got. The night is coming. I wonder, dear friend, are you amongst this cloud? We read in Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses have gone before. Paul is writing there to Jewish believers, and already a great cloud of witnesses have gone up into heaven. And he speaks of them when he speaks of those citizens of heaven. Will we join that company of God's people, the great cloud of witnesses? Are we as doves, gentle as doves? How the Lord says he will send his people into this world as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. Why? Because they have the Spirit of the Lord, made wise in the Lord, harmless, but gentle, wise. Oh, dear friends, that's the Christian. This is God's people. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? What a picture. What a lovely picture. We were once people of this world, changed now. Doves mourning our sin, hiding in the cleft. And Christians, the Lord says, let me hear your voice. Don't hide from me, but hide in me. I'm the cleft. I'm the rock. Hide in me. Don't hide from me. Trouble is, you see, the unbeliever, he hides himself. She hides herself from God. You'll only be able to hide for so long. The day of judgment is coming, when men and women will be calling upon the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us. Why? Because the wrath of the Lamb is coming. He would be, and he will be, the judge of all men. The proud have no time for him. You see, all of this is speaking about his church. This is the church. Chapter 42, chapter 50, chapter 53, and so on. Those are the servant songs about the Savior. And to be in the church, you've got to know about this Savior, that he is the Savior of all that come unto him. And these are his people. They're gentle as doves, and they fly as a cloud. They fly together. They're not lone rangers. They fly as a cloud. They're together. They're a company of people. Doves love each other. You ever watch doves? How tender they are. How loving they are. That's how God's people are. Gentle. Tender. Well, you say, well, I desire this. Well, I say, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Because all of these here who are doves have sought the Lord. They've cried to him. They've mourned their sin. Cry to him. You say, I want to be in this company. Oh, this is the company whom he has died for. His doves would fly as a cloud. Precious to him. Bought by his precious blood at Calvary. saved. Lastly, their windows. It's a reference to their resting place. Well, firstly, point you back there to Song of Solomon 2:14. Where is the dove's resting place? Well, in the Lord, in the cleft. He is the cleft. Remember how Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord, and the Lord said to him, hide in the cleft of the rock. But here we see in Song of Solomon, oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. Well, who is that rock? That rock, I say, is Christ. He is the only rock. They hide in his cleft. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. You know, we may not think much of our voice. I certainly don't think of much of mine. But the Lord loves to hear our voice. He loves to hear us confess our sins. And it's a joy just to know that we know him. That's a joy in and of itself, to know that we're saved. And to know that we're safe in this rock, the Lord Jesus. Friends, this is where we take our refuge. The rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly, is the rock, the blessed rock of ages. This is the rock that was smitten. Remember how Moses smote that rock and water issued out, feeding the multitude of people there in the wilderness. And there she is in the rock. And in Christ we have all the riches of God and all the supplies of God. Paul says God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh friend, you see, if you're in Christ, you have everything. He'll give you grace in this life. He'll give you glory. No good thing will he withhold. Provision, undertaking for us in every way. Let me hear thy voice. It's the voice of praise. It's the voice of confession. It's the voice of rejoicing in him, our rock. And it's sweet to him because he is worthy of all praise. He who is God, who became man for us. But you know what? While he provides for us shelter now, you notice these, who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? Friends, we have not only a window here, not only a safe place, but we have a home in heaven. Where I go, you cannot go now, he said to his disciples. But I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. We have a home in heaven because he has gone up for us. Friends, this is the friend of friends. The Lord Jesus, who is the rock, who is the one who has turned these ones who were in darkness. The people who are in darkness now have a resting place in Christ, have a home in heaven. One day we'll be glorified and see him as he is. You know, the Bible says we are to seek him now while he may be found, to turn to him while he is near. That the wicked should forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God says, my ways are not your ways. He loves to save. It brings glory and honor to his name. He says that he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. He says, for my thoughts are not as your thoughts. What a gracious God. Well, friends, he is the rest for the weary soul. Let me just read to you a little hymn from John Newton. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, Sure, that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast, yet I weary am, I know. And the weary long for rest, burdened with a load of sin, harassed with tormenting doubt, hourly conflicts from within, hourly crosses from without. All my little strength is gone. Sink I must without supply. Sure, upon the earth there's none can more weary be than I. In the ark the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the ark of grace. Tempest-tossed I long have been, and the flood increases fast. Open, Lord, and take me in, till the storm be overpast. But friends, there is coming a great tempest. And we read in Isaiah 32, and a man shall be as an hiding place, a shelter from the storm. There is coming the storm of God's judgment soon. And Christ's people, who are described here as doves that fly as a cloud, have learnt now to take rest in Him. To those who are weary and burdened in their sin, the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I adjure you by heaven and earth to seek Him now, to make Him your resting place, and to find no peace until you have. Seek Him while He may be found. Turn to Him while He is near." Amen. Well, it's just that hymn that I quoted that we'll sing now. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul, put in thy claim. Sure, that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast, yet I weary am, I know. And the weary long for rest. Let us seek Him. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for such a Saviour that came into this world to give us long-lasting and promised rest. Rest not only now, but Lord, eternal and everlasting rest with Thee and Thy dear Son in the new heavens and in the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. O Lord, help us as we come to Thee to confess our sins. And Lord, give us all that we need to be Thine. May we seek Thee while Thou might be found, turn to Thee while Thou art near. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be with you now and forevermore. Amen.